1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveland. 51551 is our text number. Taran Devere. Taran, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Is it an election leaflet? The one you've passed it on to us. It's the anyway. Let people judge it themselves. It does actually advocate a candidate at the end of the piece and a political party, but we won't name them for the sake of balance. But it says how to vote, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, an open letter from the dead.
That's right, yeah. And it did come along with an official leaflet for a particular candidate as well.
Okay, and who is this open letter from the dead? Who is it from?
Well, my copy that I was given has a signature of Father Sweeney on it, but other people I've spoken to who live in the town, who live in Remelton, have said that theirs was unsigned.
But this is Father Desmond Sweeney in Remelton.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and can you explain it to our listeners? What does he mean, an open letter from the dead? Who's dead? Who's relatives?
So it appears to be a kind of generic letter where he's speaking on behalf of all of our dead relatives. He particularly stipulates your parents and grandparents would like to speak a few words with you. And he says that us voting to remove the Eighth Amendment.
Okay, have you got it? Have you got it in front of you?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. Well, why not read it if you can?
Well,
take your time.
It's quite long. Well, I'll give you a few passages.
Yeah. Okay.
From it.
You edit
he
it.
He says, "It. What can we compare it with? It was like leaving a pet lamb in the middle of a forest to be mangled and devoured by a pack of wild animals."
This is anyone. How this is the dead writing to their relatives.
It doesn't say
what age their relatives are. I presume all their relatives. How could you have consented to remove from your constitution the Eighth Amendment? It was like leaving, as you say, a pet lamb in the middle of a forest to be mangled and devoured by a pack of wild animals.
Yeah, and then he also specifically talks about children being murdered, deliberate killing of children. And, I mean, this didn't come in an envelope or anything, and it was my small child who picked these up, and she started reading them. Mm-hmm. And she was quite distressed at first when it said an open letter from the dead. And then I explained to her that it had an anti-choice. It was written by an anti-choice person, and she was kind of familiar with the stuff that they had done during repeal referendum. So I just explained to her, but it was pretty distressing for her at first.
Did she read the line where it says, "Remember, the day is near at hand when your term on earth will come to an end and you will join us, your loved ones gone before you again"?
I don't think she got that far, but I think the bit where it says that if we don't vote for a anti-choice candidate,
there's a name
in the election,
candidate and a name party. Yeah.
Yeah, where it says if we don't vote for that person, then we won't be able to look our loved ones in the face when we meet them in heaven. It's just terrible emotional blackmail.
And as for those who do arrive here, i.e. heaven, where all the relatives are, with blood on their hands, Jesus will deal with them. In
yeah.
fact, he has already done so. He has already pronounced his verdict. It's recorded in the Gospels. Look it up. And then
That's
it's
right.
a big long PS asking you to vote for a named candidate in a named political party.
And it also asks you to watch a video by Tim Jackson.
About abortion. Now, there's no problem talking about the Eighth Amendment, because that's been debated and the issues are well aired at this stage. So there's no problem us talking about it today in light of the election. But you said this one is supporting a named candidate from Father Desmond Sweeney, which is unusual for a priest to come out in support of a named candidate and a named political party. But you say an election leaflet came with it. Was that a coincidence?
Well, there were three pieces. They're all the same size. They were folded in half and they were all hand-delivered at the same time, and not just to my house but to other houses in the town.
Have you any idea who delivered them?
No. I was actually upstairs when they got delivered, but my daughter was downstairs and saw them coming through the letterbox all at once yesterday evening.
So it was the one person who dropped the election leaflet and this election supporting letter in.
That's right, yeah. They didn't knock on the door or anything. Yeah. They just put it through the letterbox. But the party themselves that are named contacted me on Twitter and told me that this wasn't their information, but it came with their leaflet.
Okay, and it also says, this is a letter from the dead. Your dead relatives are saying to you, how could you have allowed yourselves to be so deceived by your politicians and your so-called intelligentsia who communicate to you in the media?
Yeah, it's kind of bonkers, really.
And is this a regular, do you regularly get letters from the dead in Remelton?
No, I don't think so, although there was a very similar letter to this during the repeal referendum.
By the way, the heading is from the priest, How to Vote, the Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. John Mackett here. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
John is editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune. And you printed this letter, did you?
Of course, I print all Father Sweeney's letters for the past 30 years because he's been one of the strongest advocates for the protection of the unborn. And this is not the first time he has printed this type of letter, because he's dealing specifically within the terms of the Gospels. And it just so happens that in these instances, this point of view happens to coincide with those of a particular political party.
And yourself, obviously.
And myself, obviously. I don't know if any other newspaper has printed these letters, but I'm not in the area.
Well, do you really think a serious newspaper would print an open letter from the dead?
I don't see why not.
First of all, there's not being facetious. There's no postal system. And two, the dead can't write, as far as we know.
You see, this is a letter where he's put himself in that position as a very holy, spiritual, charismatic figure of 86 years of age, who has taken a particular line that he has stood firm by, and the very fact that 35,000 people voted to oppose the Eighth Amendment referendum a year ago. I don't feel that I'm in any position as a censor to start making decisions to exclude anybody, because we carry letters all the time in relation to road traffic deaths.
And would you carry a letter advocating abortion?
We have done so, yeah. We don't have any particular point of view about the letter, as long as we deem it to be within the spirit and the terms of the Constitution, and it's not libelous, Joe.
Of course. And does he have a regular column with you, or just you print every letter
you
write?
No, but we have regular columns from a number of clergymen. Some of them retired, and they're very popular, particularly a man called the Reverend Brian Smeaton, former Church of Ireland rector. And we have another one from a Reverend Alan Watson. We're very unique up here in Donegal in our spirituality and our inclusive views that every aspect of society and every group is entitled to a voice, regardless.
And you don't think, because Taryn does, and as she said, her daughter picked it up, like a letter, dear children and grandchildren, an open letter from the dead, we, your loved ones gone before you, your parents and grandparents, would like to speak a few words to you if you would kindly listen to us in faith. And then it goes on about abortion and how could you have listened to the media and the so-called intelligentsia and...
I accept all that. All of Father Sweeney's writings are particularly pro-life.
I know that, but are they all from the dead? Is that a style?
No.
Maybe it is a style,
no,
is it?
There's a different one this week, and I'd urge people to read
and
it
who's
very
that
carefully
from?
Because it's from Jesus Christ. Then you'll really be impressed with that one, Joe.
He's written a letter from Jesus?
Yeah.
And it's signed Jesus Christ at the end?
No, but
that's what I mean. He's written a letter as if it was written by Jesus.
Yeah, like he states that category, how to, like all his letters, how to vote, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And this subheading is another open letter, this time from Jesus. And it goes on to say that I am Jesus, your divine brother, and all this kind of thing. And there's a very interesting bit somewhere towards the end of it, which states, and this may perhaps captures the whole spirit of what Father Sweeney represents. If Lady Macbeth were a member of Dáil Éireann today, she would feel very much at home with kindred spirits, willing conspirators, and are scheming to dethrone the reigning king, even God himself, glad to work like beavers and freemen, new laws to establish a new kingdom made in their own or Lucifer's image. That is Father Sweeney's concept of not only his deep spirituality, his faith, but that of the Gospels. And he sticks and has rigidly stuck by that principle all his life. And he's, by the way, he He is probably one of Donegal's most popular priests. He has Padre Pio Mass every Friday evening that attracts probably the largest audience of at any church in Donegal. And it goes on for 2 full hours where people are given terminal news about their health conditions, people and various difficulties in their lives across all religious divides. Father Sweeney does not differentiate between any one religion or the other, but he is totally, totally focused on the rights and the protection of the rights of the unborn, and he makes it very clear that it's very difficult to talk about any other type of human rights without beginning with the rights of the unborn. That's his point of view. We don't have an opinion on that to express, but we feel we have an obligation to print those letters, because by ignoring them and putting them in the bin would be practicing the, you know, censorship.
And do you print every letter you get?
No, we don't.
Oh, no.
Any letter.
So you do ignore some letters and put them in the bin.
Like if they're libel.
Yeah, well, of course. I presume you're not getting letters, libelous letters by the truckload, are you?
We get too many of them, where named individuals are accused of certain actions that are not corroborated.
Taran, 51551. Taran, what do you think of what John is saying? He's a priest and he's entitled to his opinion, and he's entitled to advocate people vote whatever. Well, he's advocating not just a particular party, but a particular individual.
Of course, we're all entitled as individuals to be able to give our opinion. I don't have any problem with Father Sweeney doing that. I do think that it is offensive and patronising that he's claiming to speak for everybody's dead relatives. First of all, not everybody...
He's not claiming to speak for everybody's dead relatives. He's expressing a particular point of view.
He's
from
not.
An
hang on, now, hang on, hang on, John. Now, we're dealing with English here, as you are, and you're an editor of a fine newspaper. So these lines are pretty clear. Dear children and grandchildren, we, your loved ones gone before you, your parents, your grandparents, would like to speak a few words to you if you'd kindly listen to us. That's as clear as the hills of Donegal on a beautiful summer's day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he is purporting to. I can see people throwing their eyes up to heaven, but he is purporting to. If a child or a teenager or an adult, we or loved ones gone before you, would like to speak a few words to you, if you kindly listen to us, and an open letter from the dead, your dead, your relatives.
But I mean, what exactly is the objection to that? Is Taran saying that he's not entitled to have his view expressed or put across in a leaflet put through a letterbox or published in the local newspaper?
No, I didn't say that. I said that he is, of course, entitled to his opinion as an individual. But I said I thought that it was offensive and patronising to claim to speak for everybody's dead relatives. And it's sort of bizarre as well. Like, it's just bizarre to me. I mean, not everybody is a Catholic, so... you know, we don't all necessarily have the same beliefs as Father Sweeney.
Father Sweeney sets the stall out as being a Catholic priest, first and last.
Is he a priest?
With the principles of the Gospels.
Okay, we asked.
My 13-year-old son, his grandmother, great-grandmother, was a very staunch Catholic. She was 103 when she died, and she was pro-choice. And when my teenage son read this leaflet by Father Sweeney, he said, well, he's not speaking for my great-grandmother, because she was very explicit about being pro-choice.
Well, again, you know, your grandson, and fair play to him for reading it, he's entitled to his opinion, and Father Sweeney would be the very first one to accept that and congratulate him for expressing that opinion.
Now, why wouldn't Father Sweeney wouldn't come on to support the letter?
Well, I'm not in a position to speak.
I know,
for
of course
Sweeney.
You're not. The line.
I'm not in a position to speak.
Okay. I don't know if we
Father won't... Sweeney is a very, very busy man.
Of course.
He visits patients and every day of the week for hours on end. He prays with people.
And
I mean, Taran, you must realise that Father Sweeney, if you know him or know about him in Remelton, he is the most charismatic of figures with a deep devotion and
In fairness, John, I don't think Taran has any quibbles with that. As you said, you know, quibbles with you or anyone else. I don't know who pays for the leaflets. You don't pay him to write the letters, and he doesn't pay you to publish them. Sure. There's no money changing hands.
The Tribune is not about monetary values. It's about giving fair play to everybody.
If I wrote a letter from a dead figure, would you publish that in your newspaper?
Well, you're putting us into a position to make a judgment without knowing what you're going to write. We'll have to get the letter and read
it. Well, if it was non-libelous, but I was claiming to be
I would have to make that call. We have published those type of letters.
We're
not going to be judgmental about something that we haven't seen.
Hang on, John. Now, you haven't published any other letters from dead people.
We have published letters over the last 30 years.
Not from dead people.
I think we have, yeah.
People claiming to be a dead person.
I think Father Sweeney has already published letters from the dead in previous Eighth Amendment campaigns.
Okay.
Along the same lines. And
the letters, John, when is the Tyrconnell Tribune out? Tomorrow,
it's on Thursday morning. Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
And the letter from Jesus Christ, is that about the election as well?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's about the election. It's about Father Sweeney's own personal views.
Yeah, but did you not say to yourself, hang on a minute, the Friday's elections are about the European Parliament and the local elections, both of whom, especially the locals, have had that, which is the main for in terms of numbers, both of whom have any hand act or part in the legislation for abortion in Ireland.
Sorry, I missed that point you were making.
I'm saying, why is he writing a letter about abortion to and then urging people what way to vote in the local elections? In the local elections, which have nothing to do with abortion.
He's not advocating any, I don't think.
He is. Did you read the letter?
Tomorrow's letter.
No, did you read last week's letter from the dead? Yeah, he does. He names a pair.
Oh, yeah, like he does name it.
I don't want him or her name because then I have to name everyone else. But he does name a candidate, and that candidate, as far as I could find out a few minutes ago, was not standing in the Euro elections, is standing in the local elections.
That's right.
I mean, he's talking to people as faithful Christians and how they should vote.
Yeah, in an election that has nothing to do with the topic he's on about.
Well, you see, when we rang him, the line went dead.
Jerry O'Sullivan, 51551. Jerry, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Okay. Hello. Well, anyway, your point, please, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm just wondering there. So the so-called letters from the dead. I'm just wondering, why don't people go to the scriptures themselves, like the Holy Bible itself? And there's no place in the Bible. Can you find anybody writing any letters? And also in, I don't know, is it Matthew, Mark, Luke or John? I'm sure the priest there will be well aware that when a person dies, like Abraham went into the bosom of the father and the rich man, and there's a void there, no man can go beyond that after the grave. So this is man's tradition. Again, coming from the Roman Catholic Church.
So you're saying that Father Sweeney should not be purporting to be writing letters from the dead because it's against Scripture?
Absolutely.
Okay, what about letters from Jesus Christ? Is that allowed?
That's the same. We have the revelation of Scriptures, Genesis to Revelation, the whole book, what we have in what the Holy Bible. And that's, I would not say that that's any letter from the Lord Jesus, no way.
And what did you think when you heard about the opening lines, an open letter from the dead to your children and grandchildren, your loved ones, be gone before you, would like to speak a few words to you if you kindly listen to us?
Okay, so again, if you can find anywhere in the scriptures that will say that there are any letters from people who have gone before us.
Okay.
You won't find any.
And by saying this, John, because you seem to be, and thank you for that, you seem to be quite familiar with the scriptures. If you do purport to write letters from the dead, are you being blasphemous?
I can't see where blasphemy comes into it because this is a Father Sweeney's own personal point of view as to how the dead would feel.
Okay. And Jerry, who is familiar with the scriptures,
I mean, he is a priest for.
Okay, well, hang on, John.
70 years, whatever it is.
51551, Joe at RT.ie. John Canning is in Scotland. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Can you help me with that question? If, given what Jerry O'Sullivan has said, that the scriptures say clearly the dead cannot give their point of view.
I'm not claiming to be a theologian or anything like that.
Okay.
But I was brought up a Roman Catholic.
Okay.
As I understand it, there already is a vicar of Jesus Christ. That's the Pope in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Sweeney claims to be writing letters in the name of Christ. That's one thing. But then talking about... to children, he's writing about their dead grandparents and parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to my mind, that is going beyond the bounds of reasonableness by a priest. Is he communing with the dead, or claiming to commune with the dead, or is it just him thinking what the dead might say if they were still alive or something?
He's basically purporting to express a view from his own spirituality and from his own 60 years as a priest as to
that's
what,
not what he's
the
saying,
dead
John. That's not
be.
What he's saying, John. That's not what he's saying. That's not
from what
he's saying.
I can see it is.
Well, I can see how. Where do you get that? I'm looking for this opening paragraph. You tell me about. Hello, my name is Father Desmond Sweeney. I am a priest. I want to give you my opinion based on 60 years of my spiritual existence and learning. Nowhere is that present. What is present is an open letter from the dead. Dear children and grandchildren, we, your loved ones, gone before you, your parents and grandparents would like to speak your words. That's diametrically opposed. John Canning, do you think the priest is operating outside the boundaries of the Bible, so to speak?
I wouldn't. He's expressing, I take it, he's expressing his own opinion about abortion.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fine, yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's been... It seems to be saying that the church, the Roman Catholic Church in this case, but presumably any other church, say the Free Presbyterians, that would be able to determine the policy of a state. Mm. I seem to remember gift to Caesar and gift to God as being the two dividers. And the state has already decided through a referendum to change the Eighth Amendment to the Irish Constitution. That's totally up to the Irish state to do so.
Okay, Jimmy O'Byrne. Thanks, John. That's John Canning in Scotland. Jimmy O'Byrne, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe.
Don't name any candidates.
Okay.
Sorry, we're into the whole balancing, but well, RTE are anyway. I don't know if anyone else is, but we have to do the balancing. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead.
But actually, is that what's missing is balance in the whole thing?
Okay.
People are just shoving their own opinions down everybody else's throats. It's not okay to do that. Surely.
Tell us your background. You got a letter.
Well, I'm in North County, Dublin. And I got a letter from one candidate who was doing the same sort of extreme stuff as that letter from somebody's grandparent or from everybody's grandparents.
Who were dead, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
From their dead grandparents, not their living ones.
Well, I know that my grandparents, who are all dead, I know that my grandparents would have been much more enlightened and much more accepting of everybody else's opinion.
Okay, so you objected to this election leaflet. What did you do?
I wrote to Fingal County Council Franchise Department and said that I didn't think that it was all right to get this kind of extreme stuff in your door. And I didn't think that it was all right to express such extreme views in such graphic detail. And for it just to come in the door, not in an envelope, but to just come in where anybody could read it. Now, as it happens, my children are adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're able to form their own opinion. But I was with my eldest daughter, and we were driving past a very objectionable poster in Clontarf, just down the road from where you live, Joe. And
you know, the way you say that, I think I didn't put it up. What poster are you talking about? Sorry, no, just the way you said it. What poster are you talking about?
Well, they're not an election candidate, so I presume I can mention them.
Yes, of course you can. Yeah.
So the Iona Institute had a big poster on the wall of the restaurant.
I've seen it.
There.
Yeah, that was Canara, great restaurant.
It's great restaurants, and the poster is not great. And I rang Iona and Angelo Bottoni. I said to him, I said, I'm not going to engage you in a discussion because you didn't engage us in a discussion. You're just ramming your opinion down our throat. So I'm going to ram my opinion down your throat. And I told him what I thought of it. And I think a friend of mine said to me recently, bad things happen when good men do nothing. Or that's the paraphrase of it. Mm. And I think people...
Well, hang on, come back to your phone call to the Iona Institute. What did you ask them? Or
I asked them to not ram their opinions down. We know what their opinion is. We know what David Quinn's opinion is. And Angelo Bottoni, they're well versed and they're very good at putting their opinions across.
And they're on the media a lot,
But this one was just rammed down our throats, you know.
But did you ask them, did you ask them, is that an actual photograph of a fetus? Because I don't think it is.
Well, I don't think it is either, but that's not the point. The point that I'm making is that they're ramming their opinion down our throats, and I don't
and
think
and
that's
their
okay.
Reply was, their reply
and
was?
Their reply was, they wanted to engage me in the discussion about what do they think the poster meant. And I said, look, I'm not, I don't want to get into the discussion with you. I want to do to you what you did to me, which is I want to ram you my opinion down your throat, which is that it's inflammatory, it's disgraceful in an enlightened society. They're putting themselves up as the voice of reason and the voice of enlightenment to enlighten the rest of us, and it's not. All they're doing is shouting at us.
Yeah, but they're in, are they, Jimmy, if they paid for the poster, which they do, it's an expensive location,
course,
expensive
huge.
Poster. If they paid for it, then what they'd say, we paid for it, we can put up what we
course.
Want.
Of course, and they're entitled to their opinion, and not only are they entitled to their opinion, I'd be prepared to go out and fight for their rights to express it. But to express it in a mild and a balanced way so that other people aren't offended by it, so its children aren't frightened by it, and parents aren't put in the position where they have to explain things to children that children don't need explained to them because they're children. They need to be let be children until they're adults enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are parents who are being asked questions about what all of that, the same as that your first caller whose 13-year-old son got this letter and was, what's all this about? He's only 13. He shouldn't have to be dealing with that sort of stuff yet. He's only 13.
How did your phone call with the Iona Institute, and fair play to him for engaging, how did your phone call with the Iona Institute conclude?
I just said to him that he tried to engage me in the conversation and the argument, and they're very good at this. They're very good at talking you down and quietly bullying you.
No, you can't say that, Jimmy. Don't say that. No, one could bully you. Seriously.
Are you joking me now?
No, you're well able. So, you're well able. Seriously, they don't.
So
they don't
bully.
Look,
I'm not engaging you. I'm just telling you what I think, and you can take it or leave it. Here's my telephone number, by the way, if David Quinn wants to talk to me at any point, and here is my address. I'm not like a keyboard warrior or something like that. I'm prepared.
Fair play to you. Okay, say that.
I actually had occasion to write to Bishop Nulty at the weekend.
Dennis Nulty.
At least I felt I had over his comments about marriage. I think that my point today is that I think that the Catholic Church has lost its mandate to tell us what to do.
Okay. And you can read Bishop Dennis Nulty's piece about the referendum. And again, I think he's in the Irish Times today. Reverend Geraldine Bone. Geraldine, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Joe.
I know you're a reverend with the Interfaith Ministry.
With the Interfaith Foundation. I'm a One Spirit Interfaith Minister. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, what do you think of the letter from the dead?
I haven't seen the letter, but I think that Father Sweeney is very entitled to have an opinion about whatever he likes, but I think it's a complete abuse of power for him to use his position as a well-respected member of the community who people look up to use that position to influence how people vote in an election. I think he's outrageous.
And that to you would be, even though this election on Friday has nothing to do, even though he does name a candidate to support clearly in a party, even though this election on Friday has nothing to do with that issue.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think the Catholic Church or priests who are representing the Catholic Church should be trying to tell people how to vote on anything, because it's also a complete disrespecting of anybody's views who not only is not a Catholic, but who is a Catholic but doesn't happen to support pro-life. So he's saying, this is what you need to think if you're a good Catholic, and if you don't, as one caller said, it's emotional blackmail. If you don't, your dead relatives will never forgive you. It is, and then people look up to him and might pay attention to what he says about how they are voting in a political election. The church really needs to back out of all this influence it's trying to have, although it's now lessening over the state.
You've made me look at that another letter, another paragraph I was looking at this morning from the letter. The letter from the dead says, remember, the day is near at hand when your term on earth will come to an end and you will join us, your loved ones gone before you. You would want our reunion to be a happy, joyful occasion, and when we meet again, to be able to look at one another face to face, to talk to one another and listen to one another heart to heart, to look into each at one another's eyes, hearts and souls lovingly and joyfully. This would surely not be possible if you arrived here with blood on your hands, on your conscience, the blood of unborn children.
Yeah, really. It's I don't know how anybody could see that is not outrageous for him to use his position to be not only expressing his opinion in terms of trying to influence, but expressing it in that kind of way. There was an earlier caller on, a woman who talked about her son had said about his great-grandmother. You know, I would love... I can't remember the name of the paper that is published.
The Tyrconnell Tribune,
I would love a lot of people to write to that paper as if it was from their dead relative and dispute what this letter is saying and see how many of those letters he published.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Geraldine Bone, Reverend Geraldine Bone. Michael Martin, Michael, your point, please.
Well, Joe, I was listening to the debate there, and I have to say that I believe that is an unbelievable arrogance by that priest to claim that he is speaking in such terms on behalf of the dead. My point is just simple, Joe. The dead do not speak. The dead have never spoken. Never in the history of humanity has a dead person spoke. And the idea that he speaks, that he claims to speak on the dead in such terms, with such emotional blackmail, it is a shameful arrogance, Joe. It really is.
Okay.
And it is no wonder that young people, and indeed older people like myself, are leaving the church in their droves and are just leaving the superstitious nonsense behind.
Okay.
He's doing religion a sad disfavor.
Okay, last word to John McAteer, the editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune, who printed the letter and is printing another one this week from Jesus. Go ahead, John.
From listening to the debate over the last half hour, I would have to say that the amount of interest is huge, but everybody's point of view is subjective. You're entitled to that point of view.
Okay.
My role in this is not to decide on whether Father Sweeney has a right or hasn't a right. My role is to offer that view, given that I have regarded that letter as being fit for publication, that it doesn't constitute a libel, and that it's within the bounds of the Constitution.
John, I'm
quite happy to stand over that.
Okay, and appreciate your time and appreciate all the callers. 51551 Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.